Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Welcome again this morning to your morning energizer, to your morning faith boost. I believe you're enjoying that song by Ada, "He I Overcame," you know, because it just helps to, like the last place before I muted it, you know, declare boldly, "I am born of God." It's just exciting, you know, when you learn to sing songs, you know, should I just say new Christian-centered songs, you know, they help to reaffirm your faith. You know, Bible tells us in Philemon and verse 6 that the communication of your faith is effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. So it's just exciting. It's important. It's glorious. So John 14, again, Jesus tells us, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He's now said, "I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions." It's important that we don't try to rush over this very, very, you know, vital point. You know, we don't just rush over it and just feel, hey, I know, you know, so I'm in Christ in me. It's in the mind of God, this is like the big deal, right? This is really like the big deal, and it needs to be like a very, very big deal in our mind. You know, it needs to be a very, very, very big deal in our own minds. Super big deal, super, super like big deal. Because there's everything to God. I mean, you could try to imagine the generations of believers or who've sang the song from Psalm 51, you know, where David, you know, was speaking from verse 10, saying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me." You know, and then we've had to, I've sang that, you know, excuse me, I've sang that growing up as a believer, and then we sing it wholeheartedly. We sing it, and you know, I mean, we sing it. I mean, just in case, you know, you weren't around, as it were, like born again when those songs or these kinds of songs are really raining, but I would assume that most of us have still sang it. And then you meant it, because I mean, this scripture, this even described how you felt, and like, ah, God, you know. I want to be all, I want to be everything, making me new, clean. And then you say all that. And then David said, oh, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from your presence. You've got to remember that David had first-hand experience with King Saul. All right. David was a young boy that was invited to play the harp, you know, musical instrument for King Saul each time the demon spirit disturbed him. So David knew, all right, this is our king, anointed by God. David likely might have even, you know, been at the coronation ceremony, or maybe, yes, he had to watch over sheep and heard the gist. But I mean, David knew we had a king, he's anointed by God. Suddenly, David gets to the house and like, oh my goodness, see the king, you know. So David had to play music and then watch the demon spirit leave. I mean, that was David. So David obviously would have been touched, impacted by that encounter. Like, God, this must never happen to me. So that context might help us better. You know, David feeling, God, this must never, like, no, never, ever happen to me. I don't ever want to get into this case. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I know what happened to the last man that happened too. You took your spirit away from him, and demons just were all over the man. You know, don't. And then you see this, all right? And you see, maybe you read Samuel and how that the Spirit of God will come upon him. Samuel will shake himself, and the anointing will come upon him. Then his hair, you know, was cut, and then the anointing was going to be like, oh my goodness, wow. I have to be careful. Maybe there are certain things I might do also, and then the anointing or the Holy Ghost would leave and everything. Allow me quickly say that the anointing for ministry and the presence of the Holy Ghost, let me just quickly try to say, might not be 100% same thing for the believer. What I mean is, first of all, you cannot try to understand how God functions from the Old Testament. You have to go into the New Testament, all right? So Jesus in John 14 made it clear, all right, from verse 16, that I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, all right, that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Ghost is now with you forever. Jesus made it clear. So you don't do something wrong, you got mad at someone, and then, oh, the Holy Ghost left you. Oh my goodness, Holy Ghost has left me. And then you repent, fast for some days, and Holy Ghost comes back. And he doesn't do that. He abides with you forever. All right. And Jesus later, you know, kept saying to them in John that 14, 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, nor knows him, but you know him because he's with you and he will be in you. So the Holy Ghost moves into the believer, not just being upon the believer. In the Old Testament, what we had the Spirit do to them was be upon. All right. So there is still that dimension of being upon where ministry is concerned. So that was a point I was trying to touch. So yes, you have the Holy Ghost resident within you. God now maybe anoints you, empowers you to do stuff. So certain days you feel anointed to do certain things, you know, because maybe that's now by the Spirit willing, all right? Maybe, for instance, a certain gift of the Spirit that you cannot walk up by yourself all the time. It's by that anointing. Just know there's anointing on me, you know, to stand in this particular office right now. There's anointing on me to teach right now. So it's different from the Holy Ghost is resident. He's resident in every believer, whether anointed for a special ministry office or not. And then, yes, you could grow that anointing, as it were, growing that great. But the Holy Ghost is in you. He's the Holy Ghost. He's always in you. He's in you. They didn't have all of this in the Old Testament. It just comes upon the kings, the priests, the prophets, judges, you know, just selected people, you know, like less than 10% of the whole house. Less than, did everyone say 10%? Maybe like 1% or far less than 1% of the entire nation of Israel, as it were. They didn't have him resident in them. You only comes per function. You only comes per responsibility. So the case now is different. So you don't read their encounters and say, oh my God. No, Bible said these things are written for our examples. So we learn, yes. You understand certain things, yes. But you don't even understand God very well looking at the Old Testament. Because Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake to our fathers by the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. All right. So you have to now understand God through his Son. And Hebrews 1 continues to say the Son is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person. So the way to understand God is through the Son. You have to look at God's character from the character of Jesus. So how is the relationship of God with the believer? You cannot find that in the Old Testament. You cannot find that in the operations of the temple. Oh, there's a Holy of Holies, that place I can't enter. Oh, there were rules, maybe for a lady, so you can't go to church at certain times. Or maybe, you know, and you just get those and you read all that in the Old Testament, but things are different now. The priesthood has been changed. The law has been changed. Obviously, the commandments of operation, the instructions and ordinances have been changed. You are now a new creature. Our relationship with God now is more spirit than anything else. You know, I'll touch a bit more on that tomorrow. I mean, I loved where God had to speak, you know, right, through the prophets and say, hey, I'm going to put my own spirit within you and cause you to understand my statutes. God's method of operation now is spirit. More spirit than is natural. So it's just wonderful for every one of us to understand the operations of the Holy Spirit. This is important to God, guys. Very important. So Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Guys, I'll read that again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place, or the holiest, which is the most holy place, really, by the blood of Jesus. That means you and I haven't, you know, been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're granted access into the most holy place. So that means in the New Testament now, where the high priest could not enter, where he couldn't enter, that's where we have access to. See the difference? So in the Old Testament, only the high priest, once a year, one person could enter into the most holy place. Then a few guys, priests, could enter into the holy place. And then, you know, the rest of the guys are outside. The men, and then there's an outer section for women. Then like somewhere, like way, way outside, you know, Gentiles were allowed, you know, like people coming to peep to watch a football match kind of thing. You know, so that was how it was. That was not the plan of God. That was not the ultimate agenda for God. God says, no, now through the blood of Jesus Christ, all right, through the consecration and the breaking of his flesh, you now have access into the most holy place, the very presence of God. That's where you and I have access to. So that means you and I now are in his presence. You and I are in his presence. You and I are in his presence. I know we know it. But you realize that the more you give attention to meditating on this, something begins to change about you. I've heard Ken Hagin saying a couple of messages, whether directly, you know, indirectly, you know, that you should be God inside minded. That be God inside minded. And the truth is, it makes a world of difference. The more we meditate on the realities of him in us, the more we meditate on the realities of his glory, his power, his spirit in us, the more we meditate on those realities, something gives, something changes, something is different about you and I. So I know we know it, but we're going again to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's just like super duper, super amazing. And simple statement, we'll quote it, we could sing about it, say a whole lot of things, you know, we want to say. But Paul said, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? So a dual connection here, guys. Number one, God lives in you. Number two, you live in God. So you are in his presence. He is in your presence, if you understand what I'm saying. You are in him. He is in you. The Amplified, it just always bears reading. Very, very, very essential. Amplified Classic. All right. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole world, all right, and let me maybe pick the first two words. Number one again, do you not discern? Next word it says, and understand. You know, because there are different levels of knowledge, okay? There's this knowledge where it's just mental assent. Someone says, oh, do you know that the greater one lives in you? Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, I know. I do. And then you hear a loud bang, and then you run. Ooh. I said, but I thought you know that greater. Yes, I do. Now, I used to say I should not run. I heard a sound, loud sound, really loud sound, scary sound. Shouldn't I run? You know, so you mentally agree. Same thing happens where health is concerned. You know, we know that, you know, by his wounds we're healed. Like, how many of us don't know? We know. But that level of knowledge is like initial level of knowledge. It's like introductory knowledge. Where we're just mentally aware that the Bible said it. It now goes further in knowledge to becoming a revelation. It gets deeper. So I move away from mentally agreeing to now I am getting a grasp of it. Please understand this. All right. Stages in knowledge. One is just, I'm aware. I know the Bible said it. I know. Next is, I am grasping the reality of it. So in the first level of knowledge, it's like you're given a box. There's something in the box, but you have the box. So they say, oh, do you have the box? Oh, yeah, I have it. Oh, the box is it's big, bright yellow with some red and then some blue and then this ribbon and that ribbon. And then you have the box with you. Then the next level of knowledge, you get a grasp of it. Now you've opened the box and you're like, oh, my goodness, this is what's in it. Wow. And you lift this up and then lift that up and then lift this up. You lift that up. Oh, wow. Then there's another level of knowledge where you get into a greater level of experiential depth with the same thing. So you move away from just, oh, I know that by stripes I'm healed, to I'm getting a grasp, good grasp of it. I mean, now I can easily resist sickness and disease is getting clearer to me to do that. To thirdly, I mean, I'm full of it. I'm impacting the people around me with this revelation. I mean, I'm full, not just revelation, to teach. Please get that. You're now experiencing it at the drop of a hat. No, that symptom knows this person, this lady is going to resist me. This man is going to resist me. You've come to that. It's not just, oh, she's aware, but she's still going to allow us hang around her for like 5 days. But she's aware. She's going to run around town looking for like 10 people to pray with her about us. So she's aware. She knows we're here, but we still have room to torment her a bit with this symptom. No. And very many believers have that first phase of knowledge. That first phase. We move from there. You go deeper. And one major thing that helps you do that is meditation. And then acting on the word. So Paul here says, do you not discern? Discern. Do you not discern and understand? I'm using the Amplified now. But even when King James says, don't you know? It's going beyond, were you never told? Is, don't you have a grasp of it? Haven't you come into a full revelation of it? I like to tell the story, you know, of a dear person to me quite a number of years ago. All right. I mean, he was meditating on, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. If you've ever read Reverend Hagin's book, you know, how you can be led by the Spirit of God. He encourages, you know, so that you know, God doesn't speak to your mind. God doesn't speak to your body. God speaks to your spirit. All right. So one of the things to do, you know, is to help yourself to build a spirit consciousness. So there are a number of things. And one of the things he encourages, you know, just say to yourself, I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. It just allows you to grow more in that spirit consciousness. You find that, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you know, says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, body to be preserved, blameless. You know, so kind of like there's an order, right, in which the Bible puts his spirit first, then soul, then body. You know, so, I mean, Kenegan will say that sometimes we're unconscious, you know, could say mind, you know, body and spirit, you know, body, mind and spirit and all, you know, but it's just better to try to arrange it the way the Bible arranges it so that you can put the priority where it should be. It's spirit first, you know. So this person, you was meditating for quite a while, you know, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I have a body, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I have a body. And then one day it dawned on him, like, oh my God, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And then that happened to him while he was on campus. And he was running down the stairs, met a friend of his coming. And then he grabbed the guy and said, guess what? Guess what? I'm a spirit. How is it? The guy finished there like, yeah, now, yeah. I mean, we have souls. We live in a body. And he just told the friend, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. I mean, are you saying the friend who wouldn't have known where it was in the Bible? He sure would have. I say the friend doesn't really know that there's that arrangement. He would know. But because he that day has come to a fuller grasp, has come to where his mind is flooded, hallelujah, flooded with that light, he's come to now see the difference. And if you've given out time, either number one, to meditate on something, or you sat listening to a teaching, maybe in church, you know, maybe we're playing, you know, an audio, video or something. And then while the teacher was going on, this light just flooded you about a verse. You would sincerely understand what I'm saying and see the difference between I read something and mentally agreed that it was in the Bible. All right. Maybe even added it to my confession here and there. But to now, no, I'm flooded with this light. I'm full of it. I'm full of it. I'm full of it. So that's what Paul is dealing with here. King James says, don't you know? Don't you know? So Amplify, like we're looking at, says, do you not discern and understand? NLT uses, don't you realize? So it just goes beyond that mental agreement, that mental assent, that, yeah, we know. No. I mean, CV says, all of you surely know. You know, it's because he's expecting that light, that depth, that revelation. And don't forget, we get to chapter 6 again in the 19th verse. And he comes again to start telling them, guys, come on, guys, come on. Your bodies are the temple. And he starts again with, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? So in two cases here, when he's talking to them about it, he begins with, don't you know? Guys, come on. Because their actions were giving it off that they seem not to understand this thing. And see how he put it in, you know, Amplified chapter 6, you know, 19, rather. Amplified 6, 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple? In bracket, the very sanctuary. This language, guys, is heavy. If you could travel in your mind back to the time of Moses and how they feared the tent of meeting and how the people couldn't approach it. And then everyone, God tells Moses, I want to speak with you. And only Joshua dares to stand by the door of the tent of meeting. Everybody stays by the tents of their homes, waiting for whatever God and Moses would discuss. And then they watch where the cloud would rest upon that temple. God talks with Moses, and then the cloud lifts. And they saw that happen. But he said, keep it away from us. Just tell us what's going on. Oh, Bible now says you. Don't you know that your body is the very temple? The temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Guys, he moved into us. So imagine this being full. Imagine us moving away from mental ascent. If this will cost us 1 year of daily meditation, let's begin the journey. Let's begin. I remember listening to Ken Hagin said he would say to himself, God is more real to me than anyone I know. God is more real to me than this car that I'm driving. God is more real to me than this bed I lie on. God is more real to me than my wife. God is more real to me than... And he says it. He said it for a couple of times and it was just like he was saying something. But he said after a while, God became more real to him than anybody around him. That reality. You talk your way into it, if you get what I'm saying. That's one of the things meditation would do. You keep saying it till you write it on the very tables of your heart. So don't give up. Maybe you've attempted meditating for a while and it got tiring. Don't give up. Please, you could scroll down, you know, right here on Spreaker and find a series on meditation. It will help you. Meditation, imagination, they will help you. You'll find them useful, I believe. Oh, yes, it could be boring. You know, your mind isn't used to staying on one thought, you know, for like more than 10 minutes. And now you have to stay with it and stay. You could begin 10 minutes. Maybe in the morning and then in the evening and then 10 minutes and then move it again and then find more time. So you could maybe on your own do like 30 minutes. So what would you say? Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he. I mean, it's great to say. Powerful. Oh, like really powerful to say. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. And you realize you now start using it. The more the revelation gets clearer. The doctor told you, oh, there's this wrong with your body. Oh, there's this wrong with your blood. You're just full of greater is he that is in me. Than what the doctor said is wrong with my body. You're just full of it. You don't walk away from there and say, hey, how long do I have to live? Oh, hey, how do I survive? What happens to my family? I'm not even married yet. What happens to my children? What happens to my spouse? You're full. And even if you get a negative report and those are the first few thoughts, because you've been meditating, it swings back on and say, no, come on, no, I won't end like that. Great, because it's been fooling you. You remember Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, to be full of it, spilling and running over. So that when life squeezes you, is what is inside you that comes out. Be God inside minded. The be God inside minded. Andrew Womack likes to say that one third of you is wall to wall Holy Ghost. All right, spirit, soul, body. So 1/3, the spirit, wall to full of the Holy Ghost. And when he talks, you know this man has given time to meditation. I know there's a whole lot of activity every day, guys, but please. E.W. Kenyon said something. I mean, at least I've seen it in his book, Two Kinds of Life. He might have said it, you know, more than that. But I remember Two Kinds of Life. But then I've heard Kenyon say the same thing, that the most deeply spiritual men and women that I know, they give attention to daily meditation. The most deeply spiritual men and women I know, they give attention to daily meditation. If you do this for a while, something will change. You remember Joshua 1:8, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you would make your way prosperous. You would have good success. Psalm 1, blesses a man that walks on in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law, he will meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves would never wither. And whatever he does, whatever she does, will prosper. Meditate, guys. Meditate. Meditate, please. Meditate. And you realize that the word will grow in you. Greater is he that is in me. Greater. Greater. Someone says, what about circumstance around me? Same. Greater is the love of God in you than the hatred around you. Greater is the life and the prosperity on your inside than the lack that you might be experiencing. Someone says, oh, but yeah, because don't forget, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart will flow the forces of life. So prosperity flows from inside you. So let's end again on the third chapter, you know, of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually? I only wish that God could just be here right now. He is in you. Man, when I went to that place, it was just so godless. You were there. It wasn't godless. You were there. The people there might have been godless, but the whole place wasn't godless. You alone were there with big God on your inside. Let this be your meditation. Let it be your thoughts. Don't say, when she entered that meeting, when he entered that place, one negative atmosphere just entered. No, you had entered first. A positive atmosphere was there. Yes, I understand. Maybe you perceive something contrary from the person. But don't meditate on, the negativity the person just filled the whole place. You carry something bigger. You could pick what they come with, but no, greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. Greater. Let this be your meditation. Let this fill your heart. The Holy Ghost lives permanently in me, and he's greater. Greater than whatever I face, greater, 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 greater. I believe this helped you, bless you. Pick it up like here tomorrow. Greater, greater. And then we'll just maybe take some minutes and meditate together. I'm sure that will be wonderful. So have a very, very great day. And yes, begin the practice of meditation. All right, looking forward to you hanging out again with me tomorrow. Blessings.